I've been working through this series, Truth About Worry, About Stress, and I specifically picked today to cover this topic about what God says, what His Word says about the truth about pain. Because you cannot watch the events of the last few days without feeling pain. One of the widows of the guys on the United flight that crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, she just said the other day, she said, you know what, we've moved on, we've remarried, our life goes on, but it's like having a brick in your pocket. It's always there. Some days you don't notice it as much as others, but you know it's there. And that's what pain is. I want to talk about the truth about pain because we are a pain-conscious nation. It is a multi-billion-dollar industry in our country. When you see the advertisements for painkillers, pain relievers, all the medicines, we've gone from Tylenol, aspirin, to Tylenol, to ibuprofen, to naproxen. They're always figuring out more and better ways. It seems like the whole country has a headache if you ever turn on television. But fact is, pain is a way of life. You are inhuman if you have not experienced pain in your life. You can have physical pain. You can have emotional pain. You can have spiritual pain. And the world's taught us many myths, and this is a huge one. You see it on your outline there. If I ignore my pain, it will go away. In other words, if I block it out from my memory, if I try to deny it, if I try to mask it, you know what? It'll just go away. This other myth, it is easier to avoid problems than to face them and deal with them. That is a big myth in this country. You've heard that one. But the fact is, God doesn't want you to ignore your pain. In fact, we have plenty of scriptures dealing with this where it says, He wants us to not only address it, discover it, but find out why it's a part of our lives. Sometimes there's a reason. God was not surprised by 9/11. Did God cause 9/11? I don't think so. He allowed it. We live in a fallen world with evil people, but He helps us overcome it. And pain is like a warning light in your dashboard. I have warning lights on my dashboard, and I'm afraid to tell you I will put post-it notes over them sometimes because I don't want to see them. That's not a good thing to do. It's not good to ignore warning lights, idiot lights, I call them on your dashboard. But that's the truth about pain, is God can use pain in your life, and the best thing you can do is be aware of it and not ignore it. In fact, Jesus said, John 13:7, you don't realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. He was talking about the fact that something was going to happen. It was going to bring pain and sorrow in their life. They wouldn't get it, but they would see in retrospect how God used it. And nowhere is this truth more important or appropriate in our life than the pain that we face. And if we don't see any purpose in the pain and the tragedy and the loss, whatever it is, that life brings our way, it makes it very difficult to handle. So this morning, I'm going to look at five things from God's Word where He says, you know what, this is how God can actually use pain in your life. Look at your outline, the first one. God uses pain to goad me. Now that comes from Jesus speaking to Paul, you remember, on the road, where He says it's not good to kick against the goads. And the goads were these prods they used with livestock to spur them on, to motivate them. And God can bring pain in our life to motivate, to spur us on to action that we may not be willing to take on our own. We don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. Proverbs 20:30. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Pain can prompt us to do the thing or things that we're trying to put off that we don't want to do, and it will compel us to change. It will push us to change. By the way, do you know how many psychiatrists it takes to change a light bulb? Just one, but the light bulb really wants to have to change. And that's what pain does. Pain can really make you want to change. And it's usually when we hit bottom that we're willing to entertain that idea. It's like the prodigal son, Luke 15, 14, 18. spent everything he had, hungry. At last he came to his senses, and the word says, I'll get up and go to my father. You see, he used pain to motivate, to goad. He wouldn't have changed if he hadn't gotten to that point of that pain, that hitting bottom in his life. Look at number two. God uses pain to guide me. It's like a bit in a horse's mouth. It's like a rudder, a small thing that can be in a large ship that can steer it. He turns us in different directions because of pain. Psalm 119, 71, 72. It was the best thing that could have happened to me, for it taught me to pay attention to your laws. Now, David is saying, you know what? Pain in my life has been a teaching tool. God, I understand you have brought things into my life to get my attention and to teach me things that I probably wouldn't have been receptive to or learned on my own. He says, God, you whisper to me in my pleasure, but you shout to me in my pain. And so God says, I want your attention. And boy, can he do it through pain. And sometimes it doesn't take a lot of pain, like that little rudder that can turn the big ship. But God can not only goad us, spur us, motivate us into action, if you will, but he can guide us because of pain. Hebrews 12, 7, let God train you, for he is doing what any loving father does for his children. Whoever heard of a child who was never corrected? Notice that word train there, because sometimes the only way you and I can be trained is through pain. How many times growing up as a child, how many times as a parent did you have to discipline? You didn't want to do it. You would rather not have done it. But was it done for good? Was the motive love? Yes. And Scripture says it's the same way. God doesn't like to bring pain in your life. It's not something he chooses to do. But if that is, in his wisdom, the tool he chooses to use for your own good, then he chastens us. He disciplines us. Not because he's angry, not because he's retaliating, not because he's trying to thump you, but because he's trying to guide you. Aristotle, way back then, said, some things man only learns through pain. I've heard people say, you know what, I really don't have a respect for someone as far as their view, their take, their experience on life, till they've gone through extreme tragedy, extreme pain, extreme sorrow in their life. And there's some truth to that, because it forms who you are. And so God goads us, spurs us, motivates us, but God can also guide us like a rudder of a ship through pain. But we never have to doubt his love. All of pain is for our good. But look at number three. God uses pain not only to goad me, guide me, he uses it to gauge me. In other words, as a measuring tool. You've heard that old saying, you don't know what's in a tea bag until it's dropped into hot water. It's the same way with people. You don't know what's inside you until you're in that crisis, you're in that sorrow, you're in that pain. And so God can use it to measure your faith, to measure your commitments, for you, for him, to see where you're at, what's inside of you. The Bible uses pain to a refining fire. And so it gets all the impurities out of gold or silver. It burns the dross off, Scripture says. And God, in the same way, can use pain in your life to burn off those impurities in your life that he wants to rid. So the question is, that hurt, that pain that you feel sometimes in life, what is it burning off? Is it burning off selfishness? Because pain will make you a lot more unselfish. Is it burning off materialism, the grip to have things and count your worth by what you own? Pain is a great refiner of ego and pride. It just pops that ego balloon. It burns off impatience. So many things God says, I want to refine you through this process. Isaiah 48:10, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. And so God says, pain is a test. It exposes the real you. It shows what you're like on the inside. And he says, you know why? Because it is impossible to maintain an image. It is impossible to be superficial when you're in the midst of terrible pain. When I'm feeling good, when I've got my shirt and tie and suit on, I've got my hair, you know, combed. Everything looks good and the image is fine. Come to my house about the third day of a flu when I look ugly as can be and my hair is all messed up. And it's pretty tough to keep an image up when you're in the midst of pain like that. And that's how God uses it. Because when you're miserable, you don't care about image, things get real. It's you and God, because God says, I want you to care more about character, what's inside of you, than image, how you present yourself. So pain tests character. I say, you know what? I'm a person of integrity. But when the test is on, when the situation, when the pain is on, will I stand for truth? Will my faith come out, or will I buckle and compromise? I may say, I am totally committed to Christ, but when a situation comes in my life or the pain comes and it occurs, and because of my commitment to Christ, something is going to happen, am I going to throw that out the window or forget it, or am I going to stand firm? Pain reveals really who you are. James 1, 2, and 3. Tests and challenges come at you from all sides and develop perseverance. So your finances dry up. Maybe you've had the opportunity, you're going through the desert, your health dries up, a relationship dries up. God says it's a test. I'm gauging you. I am trying to see what's inside of you. I know these are tough times, and I'm taking you through this. Maybe just say, I don't feel anything. I'm in the middle of a desert. I'm in the middle of a valley. I'm so apathetic. And God may be gauging you through this. He may be guiding you through this. He may be goading you through this. But he also may be guarding you. Look at 4. God uses pain to guard me. Sometimes God can bring pain, a situation in your life, to protect you from something you're completely unaware of. That is much worse. He can use pain to protect, preserve, keep you from getting involved in something, perhaps, that you shouldn't be involved in. Like he doesn't want you in a certain place because you're not there. There is pain that's perhaps keeping you at home or keeping you from this event, and he can use it to guard you. Pain can be a blessing in disguise. If I have a fever and it's 104, there's probably something going on, and God can be using that fever in my body to say, you know what, Mark, there is a terrible infection that you have somewhere in your body that you're completely unaware of, and this discomfort, this pain of this fever is going to guard you so you can get to the doctor and he can diagnose it and treat it before it kills you. Just like fever and infection, he can bring minor or major pain as a trigger of awareness in your life. So he can use it to guard us. And so, painful emotion. You know what? If I feel depression, if I feel anger, if I feel resentment, if I feel fear, if I feel worry, apathy, whatever it is, hostility, God is saying, you know what? You are feeling this. Something is out of whack there, and I want to guard you. I want you to get this corrected. These emotions are a symbol, a symptom of it, and I will use this pain to protect you, to guard you. Look at 5. God uses pain to grow me, to make me mature. There's a great book out there by Margaret Clarkson. The title is Grace Grows Best in Winter. You see, it's possible for you and I to grow spiritually and emotionally and mentally during the bright, cheerful, sunny, happy summer days of our life. When everything's going great, when life's fantastic, sure, you and I can grow by leaps and bounds. But let me tell you typically what happens in the human experience. You and I grow faster, farther, deeper in the dark phase of the soul when we are going through something in life that is painful. We grow far greater in the valleys than we do in the mountaintops. I don't know why it is. It is just the way we are made. And some of the toughest times in people's lives, when they look back, they can say things like, you know what, I grew more through that separation than any other time in my life. I grew more through that period of unemployment and having to depend on God than any other time in my life. I grew more through that possible terminal illness in my relationship with God than any other time in my life. I grew more through that time of crisis, and on and on and on it goes. Because grace grows best in winter, and God uses pain to grow us. James 1:4, for when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow, and don't try to squirm out of your problems. Then you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete. Pain is the high cost of growth. It's trite, but there is no gain without pain. There are not five easy steps to life wonderful. There isn't three easy steps to the great Christian life. There is no gain without pain. But the fact is, we want the product without the process. What's the product? We want the maturity emotionally, spiritually. We want the emotional stability. We want the health and the wholeness. We want the confidence. We want the meaning, the significance, the purpose in our life. But we don't want the process, which is the pain and the suffering and the tough times. That's what leads to the stability and the wholeness and the conformity to Christ-likeness, is when you and I go through that process. But Scripture says you can't short-circuit it. You can't bail on it. In fact, if I was to summarize all of this morning, it would be the very thing that discourages you the most, God can use to develop you, and it's not an accident. Message version of James 1:4. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed. When you read the Bible, when you read the Psalms, when you especially read the Davidic Psalms, and you see how David can write so eloquently and yet so intensely in the midst of pain. I mean, all you have to do is look at his childhood. He was considered the least of his family. He always got slighted. He went through loneliness, rejection, neglect, pain, all of those things. And it was during those painful times and those painful times in his adult life when he wrote some of the most beautiful songs. Paul says it like this, talking about pain, 1 Corinthians 1:9. This happened, this unfortunate circumstance, this happened so we might learn to trust not in ourselves, but in God. You see, you don't really know. You don't know in your head and heart. You don't know in your soul that Jesus Christ is all you need until Jesus Christ is all you've got. And then you know it. Psalm 116, 1-6. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our Lord, our God, is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. So my question this morning is where are you allowing the pain in your life to move you? Galatians 3:4, you see it there. Has all your painful experience brought you nowhere, is the question. What I'm saying is don't waste your hurt, don't waste your pain, because you will experience it in life, and pain can turn some people into saints and some people into devils. It can make some people bitter. It can make some people better. It is a choice. Pain is inevitable, part of life, but misery is optional. And if you let your hurts, emotional, physical, spiritual, whatever they are, lead you into a closer and better relationship with God and Jesus Christ, to know him better, then like Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7:9, now I'm glad, not because it hurts you, but because the pain turned you to God. So my plea for us today is that we will give our hurt and our heart to Christ. 1 Peter 4:19. If you're suffering according to God's will, keep on doing what is right and trust yourself to the God who made you, for he will never fail you. You can't say that about anything or anyone else. He will never fail you. So I encourage you today, close with a little self-evaluation as you go through this Lord's Day. Think of the hurt that you have or are going through. Think of the pain that is in your life and ask yourself, Father, are you using this to goad me, to spur me, to motivate me perhaps out of my comfort zone or into a closer relationship with you? Is there something I ought to be doing that I'm not, that you're trying to get my attention? Are you using this pain to guide me, to point me in a different direction perhaps than I've been going? Are you using this pain to gauge me, to help me measure myself, to see just the reality of where I am in my faith? Is it a warning light? Is something out of kilter? Or are you using this pain to guard me, to make me aware, to protect me from something worse, from wandering too far? That's why Paul said, this happens so that we might learn to trust not in ourselves, but in God. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we stand here this morning on this Lord's Day and on this September 11th, and we all have known pain. And the last few days bring back pain to us in a real and vivid way. And there are many people here this morning experiencing pain because of life in this fallen world with fallen people. Some of us have been carrying loads for weeks, months, years, and it hurts. Father, give us the guidance and the wisdom to understand, is this just something that you've allowed, or is this something that you are bringing to us to get our attention? We thank you that you help us with our hurt and that you are always there, a bulwark, never failing. We ask you to help us today. We thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, for our sake to do just that. And as his was the supreme example of sacrifice and not self-preservation, Father, help us not to explain pain away, but walk through it with you. So today, Christ, we ask that every part of our lives, especially the parts that hurt, use it for good in our life. Help us to walk through it. We want to trust you. We want to know you. We want to persevere. We want to come out better for it. Because we know only you, Father, what was meant for bad, you can turn into good. Help do that in each of our lives this morning, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.